are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Moretz, who wants on the program to put his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network as the countdown to first pitch is officially on. The hunt for Red October begins, and we're breaking it down. We're talking baseball on the program today. We've been so focused in on the gridiron for the past couple of months, literally and figuratively, although we have talked a little baseball along the way. We've been betting baseball pretty much on a daily basis, with the exceptions of the weekends, ever since football arrived. Yet it's time to turn our attention back to the diamond. Major League Baseball playoffs set to begin this evening. New York Yankees, Minnesota Twins. I'll tell you what, man, the money keeps on pouring in on the Bronx Bombers this evening. And I think the number's too high. We'll get the expert opinion of Dave Malinsky. Dave Malinsky will join us from Las Vegas, Nevada, of course, where the tragedy took place about 48 hours ago. Residual effects still continue. As I tweeted yesterday, you want to support Las Vegas. I think the best way is to continue to go there. Don't be scared by one random incident by diabolical madmen. So Dave Malinsky is going to join us from Las Vegas, Nevada. Donnie Wrightside steps up in it. Donnie's a big baseball bettor, too. A great football capper, but a big baseball bettor as well. We'll talk baseball and football with Donnie. Mike Cardano. Nobody loves baseball like my main man, Mike Cardano. So we're going to get everybody's predictions. Who's going to make it to the World Series? Who's going to win the World Series and all that other stuff? Hell, who's going to win the wild card games? Great playoffs that we have lined up. Crazy ending last night, Monday Night Football. Lord Gambler giveth, Lord Gambler taketh away. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Listen, I've been betting on sports since 1982. So I've seen a lot. I've had a lot of bad beats happen to me over the years. Last night was one of the biggest, best beats that I've ever actually had. And the crazy thing is I freaking missed it. I missed it. I watched every play of this football game. I missed that play. There was 4 seconds left. I was raging about the Chiefs not covering, about how I should have known better, and the Redskins are 8-3 against the spread on the road. And I had a troll in my chat, and I was punching him in the face. I had a punch in the face sound effect that I had. So I was like, psh, psh, psh. And I was having a good time with that. And somebody say, you know what? I don't even think he knows. I look up, I see the game's over, I see 29, and I say, thank you, Lord Gambler. I actually prayed to Lord Gambler last night during the game. I wish I would have saved that. It's like, you know, it's like genie in a bottle. I wish I would have saved that for a bigger play. But we had it. We had the Chiefs in the LV Westgate Super Contest. And everyone's important in that contest. And, man, we're a month through. We're not doing great in the contest, but we're not out of it. All right? A lot of people are already out of it. We're not out of it yet. We're still in this thing. Crazy night last night, man. Monday Night Football. Oh, that was crazy. We got a pretty good Thursday night around the corner as well. We'll talk about that Thursday nighter on the program today. New England Patriots and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Jim Saunas brought it up yesterday when he stated that, you know, the Patriots defense has really become what the Saints have been in the past couple of years. But the Patriots have become the Saints. Patriots have the number one offense in the NFL and the worst defense in the NFL. Last year, the Saints, last couple of years. Last year, the Saints, second best offense in the NFL, second worst defense in the NFL. That's what the Patriots have become. So we're going to break this down, although it's still kind of early in the season, right? And like I said, I remember when the Buffalo Bills were 5-1 with Trent Edwards, and I was convinced we were going to the playoffs. Didn't happen. Where's Trent Edwards right now? How you doing, Trent? All right, so we got a lot of stuff to get to on the program. Let's get right down to business. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. This, by far, is the best time of the sports calendar year. Whether you're just a casual sports fan, whether you're a hardcore bettor, whether you're a fantasy player, there's something for everybody right now. We've got NFL football. We've got college football. We've got CFL football. We've got NASCAR playoffs going on. They're set to drop the puck in the National Hockey League in a couple hours at time, essentially. NBA tip-off around the corner. College basketball rapidly approaching. Hey, we got a big UFC card this weekend. Great time of the year. It's the best time of the year. It's not even the time of the year that comes close to this time of the year. People, March Madness. March Madness sucks. I love college basketball. And any real hardcore, you know, March Madness is like going out on New Year's Eve, man. All right? Any hardcore college basketball fan knows the conference tournaments are way cooler than March Madness. March Madness is good for the first 2 days. After that, there's only a couple of games on. It's an overrated entity. March Madness. This is the time of the year when it's going on. Like I said, if you're a better man, if you can't win money now, like pretty much starting now, and I'm going to hold myself accountable to this as well, now that we're in the month of October, with all the options that are on the board, you know, you got hockey, you got basketball, you got baseball, hell, we got Sunbelt football tomorrow night. There's so many different options that if I can't produce a winning record in the month of October, I don't know. Like, you know, I'll get the same surgery that Caitlyn Jenner got. All right? Like, is that like a challenge, a wager? We will make money in the month of October. All right, so the Major League Baseball playoffs are set to begin, and that's the coolest, like, that's the coolest part of this thing. Great, great memories of World Series lore. Nothing beats the Fall Classic. So who's going to win the Fall Classic? And I'll tell you what, in any other given year, there are so many teams that would just be the clear-cut favorites that, man, these guys had such a good year. You know, these guys are so good, they're impossible to beat. But, you know, there are so many teams like this. You know, we got three teams that won over 100 games. We got eight teams in the playoffs that hit over 200 home runs. We got a million freaking aces on the hill. I don't even know where to start. So let's jump in right now. New York Yankees. New York Yankees, nice season, sort of accelerated the process for the Yankees. Cashman and the Bombers, they were just rebuilding, man. They're saving up for the big free agency frenzy that's going to be coming up after next year. But, hey, they got here anyways. Yankees are playing with house money right now. Do they win? No. Are they going to win the World Series? No. They don't have the pitching to go far enough in a World Series. And it's hard to club your way and slug your way to a World Series championship. Hell, I think the line is too high in a wild card game. All right, then the Minnesota Twins. Twins are live dogs, I think, against the New York Yankees. But ultimately, the Twins, are they going to the World Series? No, they're lucky to be here. They don't have the pitching to go that far. Boston Red Sox, dangerous ball club. I picked the Boston Red Sox to go to the World Series before the year started. And yeah, they haven't really done anything. They say, oh, there's no way in hell it's going to happen. But you got to ask yourself, is a team with Doug Fister as the third starter in the playoffs going to be winning a World Series? Do they have that much magic left? They have a lot of young dudes on the team, which I actually like. I think young guys can perform well in the playoffs. But ultimately, I don't think the Boston Red Sox have the pitching. It'll be interesting to see how Price does coming out of the bullpen in the playoffs for the Red Sox. He struggled over his career. We get to the Houston Astros. Very, very dangerous team, man. You can't write the Houston Astros off. And especially you see with the emergence of Justin Verlander, what he's brought to the table. Their pitching is solid, man. You got Verlander, you got Keuchel, and Peacock, one of the most underrated guys this year. Rock solid, Morton. You mix it all together. You got some great youth. But the Houston Astros just have never put it together before. Are they going to be able to go through the landmines that is the American League? I don't know, but they've got a good chance to do so. Nationals are good. They always choke. All right, Cubs are defending champions, but I don't know if they have the pitching. Can it, you know, the Cubs going to go all the way with the pitching that they have? I don't know, man. That pitching is it's pretty thin, pretty thin. There's a lot of innings on that arm with Lester as well. I think the Cubs are going to fall short ultimately. And remember, a team hasn't repeated as World Series champions going all the way back to 1998 when the Yankees won three times in a row. Colorado Rockies had a nice year, but end of the line has arrived. Grab a Coors Light and hit the showers, boys. Arizona Diamondbacks are a real live dog at 14-1, man. They're a dangerous asset team. But when it's all said and done, I think some droughts are going to be coming to an end. We all know about Cleveland's drought, all right? They haven't won a World Series since 1948. But people don't often talk about the Los Angeles Dodgers' drought either. It's been 29 years. That's quite a long time for the Los Angeles Dodgers. 29 years since Kirk Gibson hit the "I don't believe what I just saw" home run when the walk-off term was actually invented. Dennis Eckersley was asked what happened on the pitch. He said, "I threw it, he hit it, and I walked off the field." You know, walk-off home run. Kirk Gibson, classic shot, although Earl Hershiser deserves credit for that World Series championship as well. You got the Cleveland Indians, man, a red-hot baseball team, 41-7 down the stretch. Last 48 baseball game, you don't want to get in front of this team. It's almost cruel and unusual punishment for the Cleveland Indians and the Indians fans to go through another World Series loss, but that's exactly what's going to happen. The Los Angeles Dodgers win for the first time in 29 years. Bip Roberts, Dave Roberts, the guy that stole second base and kept the dream alive and the greatest comeback in baseball history against the New York Yankees for the Boston Red Sox, will now win a World Series as a manager as well. Dodgers win. Dodgers win. Game time decisions continues.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rashard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Brent's. Got a great show lined up for you. We're talking baseball. We're talking football. Like I said off the top of the program, it's the best time of the year by far, man. The best time of the year by far. Nothing tops it. Nothing comes close to it. You know, they're dropping the puck. College football, NFL football, NASCAR playoffs, Major League Baseball playoffs, NBA tip-off is earlier than usual this year. Hell, college basketball is now 25 days away, I believe they're tipping off. Is it, 24 days, because our main man, big man on campus, told me on Sunday, actually, 26 days and counting till college basketball tip-off, so which now means that 24 days. Man, a lot of stuff. That's why we bring people on like the professor to help us sort it out. So Mike Cardano's going to join us later. Donnie Wrightside, Dave Malinsky bats leadoff. Vegas point blank. You can read the column over at sportsbookreview.com. On a daily basis, Dave Malinsky joins us. How you doing, Dave?
Oh, Gabe, what a night last night was in the NFL from our side of the counter. You know, and again, I'm assuming all your listeners are already on that side of the counter anyway, but what side and total both. The swing on that final touchdown by the Chiefs, I mean, we're talking millions, maybe tens of millions of dollars changing hands.
Unbelievable, Dave. You know, side totals, teasers, everything else in between. It's never over till it's over. And it's amazing because last night you and I spoke. We were talking during a football game. And at the end of the game, I actually started talking about bad beats and how it's only happened once or twice to me. I referenced once a football game about 20 years ago, Dave. It was 15 years ago, in which I needed a cover. The other team went for an onside kick late. I had the team that was leading but wasn't covering, and they actually caught the onside kick, and instead of taking a knee, Buddy ran it into the end zone for a touchdown. It was actually the Grey Cup, the CFL championship game. Jermaine Copeland, remember him, former Tennessee Volunteer?
Sure.
Yeah, Jermaine Copeland. He was on the Alouettes, and you know, I told him about it. I said, dude, were you aware? And he goes, no, I didn't know, but everyone comes up to me and says after, you know, thanks for doing that. I didn't know at the time, but it's extremely rare. I guess, but as gamblers, we always remember the bad beats more than the good ones. But a real gift last night for Chief backers, man.
Boy, it certainly was. Because what it does is if you have Kansas City or if you have over, you spend 3 hours thinking you got the wrong side. You know, because you're never really in a position. You have no shot at the total. But that's what this stuff can reward you with. It's also the reminder that we lay 11 to 10 every day on a lot of stuff that comes down to coin flips. That's why you've got to be so patient and so careful in the way you approach this stuff.
All right, Dave. It's a roller coaster. And, you know, I'm actually 2-for-2 on this thing because last week I had the Atlanta Falcons against the Detroit Lions, and you could say that was a pretty good break too, wasn't it?
I mean, it didn't have to happen, but if you had the Falcons last week, you had the right side of the game. That even though the ending could have gone the other way, Atlanta really outplayed Detroit in that game. So someone who bet Atlanta had made a good bet. Whereas last night, if somebody had Kansas City or had the over, they really had made a very good bet. It just worked out for them.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes, you know what they say in hockey? They're starting hockey actually soon. It's better to be lucky than good, Dave. You know, that's what goalies say. Because people, oftentimes goalies in hockey, they don't even know where the puck is. It just hits them. Or it hits the goalpost or the crossbar. So they say, better to be not lucky than good. Okay, Dave, let's jump in right now. Great, great time of the year right now. So much going on. I know you're a great baseball, big baseball fan, great baseball analyst and capper, so I want to talk baseball with you. But quick take on the Thursday nighter, because we won't speak before then. Patriots are laying 5, 55.5 right now. This Patriot defense getting carved up, Dave.
You know, it's getting to a frightening stage. And we laid out a table in the Tuesday edition of Point Blank. They played 3 home games. Favored by 30.5 points in those games. And they were +5 in turnover differential. So you figure if you're favored by, let's say, 30, and you're +5 in turnovers, you figure to win the games by 50 to 60 points. They were a minus 15. They were like 9 full touchdowns below what the models would have called for. Tells you how far off the line has been. They're allowing 7.2 yards per play. That's a yard more than any other team in the league. Number 32 in passer rating allowed. Number 31 in yards per rush allowed. So this is a team that's doing a lot of things wrong at this standpoint. They made some personnel decisions that just haven't worked out. I think they'd like to have Jamie Collins back. I think they'd like to be rid of Stephon Gilmore, who actually lost his job at cornerback in the first half on Sunday. Problem is they put Eric Rowe out there to replace him in the third quarter. Rowe got hurt on the first play, so Gilmore had to go back out on the field again. So this might not be something that necessarily gets fixed real quickly. I'd like to take a +6 with Tampa. One concern about the Bucs, dead last in pass rush this year. Only one sack through the first 3 games. Eli Manning got almost 50 attempts off on Sunday without a sack or an interception. So they're not going to be able to get into Brady's grill, but I'll still take the points and put them in the game.
Yeah, and you know, it's a good point that you raised, because their secondary is getting shredded, but maybe it's not the secondary's fault. It's because they're not getting any pass rush. But Tampa's given up a chunk of yards through the air as well. One thing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, over the years, they've been unable to get over the they just can't get to the top of the hill. You know, it's like a marathon. They sort of hit the wall around the 18-mile mark, so to speak, all the time. They've lost a lot of close football games over the years. You know, and it happened in the first year, and you're wondering, okay. And in the second year, happened again. Winston really couldn't get over the top, so to speak. You know, they got it done last week. Yes, it's against the New York Giants, but the Giants scored late. The Bucs didn't panic. You know, it was a big play down the field that got them there. But they took care of business. They got it done. So I'm curious to see where the Bucs are. We know where the Pats are, but I'm curious to see where the Bucs are. And if the Bucs can win this football game, then it will say, you know what? You know, they're in this thing. You know, they're a playoff contender. But if they just get run off the field, to me, it's the same old Bucs then.
Yeah, the way they won was the way they needed to on Sunday. It's making that final drive with the game on the line. Now they get Doug Martin back, you know, and I think his freshness is going to help. But again, the offense has those tools. The offense is going to be real good. The question was, did the defense overachieve last year? Because there were indications inside of the numbers that was the case. They may not have been quite that good. And maybe this is that defense coming back down to earth. I think we got us a shootout on Thursday night.
All right, Dave, let's jump into some baseball right now. We'll go rapid fire so we can get to as many games as possible. Twins and Yankees, the saving. The money keeps coming in on the Bombers. You know, I want to make a case for the Twins, but we look at Severino. The guy's in great form, 3-0 in the month of September, 2-1-3 earned run average. The New York Yankees guys are 13-2 in his last 15 starts, yet he did get hit. The one time he got hit actually was, ironically enough, against this Minnesota Twin team. Santana's never had success at Yankee Stadium before. 0-5, 6-4-3 on the road against the Yankees in his career. But he has had a pretty good year, Dave. I just feel the number's too high in this baseball game, but I get it. And, oh, yeah, the Yankees have beaten the Twins in 11 consecutive series. They're 12-2 in the last 14 times they played in the playoffs. But this is a one-game one-off, Dave.
No, and I think what you're doing is you're laying out the classic in the marketplace. And, that, yeah, there are a lot of things that favor the Yankees. That's why the price is where it is. That's getting built in, and I think it's being overpriced. Do I like Santana in this ballpark? No, he scares the hell out of me. He's a fly ball guy. The Yankees can hit one or two routine flies to right field that'll be home runs. That wouldn't be home runs anywhere else.
He was 16-8 though, Dave, right? He's not a gas can. I mean, he had a good year. He had a bunch of complete games. I think he had like 3 shutouts on the year.
He had a good year. It's just his style is the wrong fit. But at the price point, if you've got to bet the game, you bet the Twins. Forget about the factors, because the factors are already built into this line. Imagine if this was a regular season game being played a month ago. There's no way Severino's 260 here. Maybe he's 190. Maybe he's 200. So there's that inflation of so much added money in the marketplace for a forced standalone bet. So if you're going to bet, the value says Minnesota. Don't worry about the handicapping factors, because they're already priced into the line.
Rockies, D-backs tomorrow, Greinke versus Gray.
This one also, I think, is stretched out just a little bit, because I like John Gray better than what some of the stats are going to show. His inside metrics are better than the one loss and earned run average. I thought he had pretty good stuff, didn't get rewarded with it. Do we trust Arizona and Zach Greinke to have a winner's mentality in the playoffs? And maybe that's something we could say about Severino and the Yankees as well. These aren't really the Yankees tonight. This is a young team and a young pitcher wearing Yankees uniforms. Same thing with the Diamondbacks. They're out there as a prohibitive favorite tomorrow. They don't have a whole lot of success that they can fall back on. So with those nerves being the way they are, I'm inclined to take both of the underdogs here. And again, I can't say they're going to win for any particular reason.
Yeah.
I can say, look, the price is offering enough value to make the bets.
And if you hit one of them, yeah, well, you got some plus money in your back pocket. Red Sox and Astros. Astros, minus 165 series price. Curious on your thoughts on the price there. And as far as, this is great stuff. And one of the reasons I love playoff baseball, Dave, love that afternoon baseball, man. Gotta love it. Big time playoff baseball in the afternoon. And that's what the Red Sox and Astros are giving us both Thursday and Friday afternoon, Dave. I'm very, very excited about this. And it doesn't get much better than a scorching red hot Justin Verlander versus Chris Sale in game one.
Yeah, they kind of dissed the American League on Friday. This is okay, if we can put the Cubs and the Dodgers in primetime, American League gets relegated to the afternoon. You and I don't care, because we're going to watch anyway. But it's kind of a shame that they didn't at least allow one of the American League games into the Friday night rotation. Boy, I love the way Justin Verlander threw the ball down the stretch. He had an awful lot of energy. He was composed. I'm inclined to look to Houston a little bit here. As good as Chris Sale was, he was a little bit vulnerable down the stretch. You've got some guys that will take good rips at him in that Houston lineup. I think this is just a little bit short. I thought Houston should have been about $1.30, $1.35.
All right. Looking at the pitching, the matchups here as far as the pitching goes, as we go on, it's got to be advantage. You know, Pomeranz has had a nice year. He's going in game two. What's your thoughts on Fister going in game three here, Dave? Because that's the direction they seem to be going in. Meanwhile, the Astros, you got Dallas Keuchel, and Brad Peacock's had a very, very good year, so I would expect he's going to be the guy to get the ball. They've got Morton in the mix as well, but when you look at the starting pitching head-to-head here, who do you give the advantage to between Boston and Houston?
You know, it's so tough for the Red Sox, because they had the option. They decided that David Price was going to remain a reliever.
Yeah.
But now, when you get into the playoffs, don't you wish that maybe you had gotten Price up to speed enough for game three? Because Fister in Fenway, you're just going to roll the dice. He has to hope that he gets contact outs. The balls have to be hit at people. He's not going to throw the ball by anyone. So I think Houston starting pitching them, because, you know, it's nice, Gabe, to have a decision of positives. Peacock has had a very positive year. Morton has had a very positive year. And you've got guys like McCullers that you still could consider gambling on. They have great depth in that rotation. The question is going to be whether they want it to be a three-man rotation or not. I'm not sure they've made that decision yet. They may not make the decision till after the first two games have been played.
I also wonder about David Price. David Price's postseason disappointments, it's no secret, Dave. The guy struggled in big moments in playoff games. Is it an anomaly?
Well, if Price hasn't pitched that badly in the postseason, his teams haven't scored when he's pitched. So if we look at the usual metrics that we want to focus on, strikeout rate, walk rate, Price hasn't been that bad in the postseason. He's lost games where the team he pitched for didn't score. So it's one of those storylines. I think a lot of people make it to be a little bit worse than it really has been.
Interesting, interesting. I was going to say, I wonder if the pressure coming out of the bullpen, et cetera. A lot of money to pay this guy to be coming out of the pen right now. All right, we've only got a minute left, unfortunately. Cubs and Nationals. Nationals minus 145 series faith. That surprised me a little bit. Cubs, I don't trust this Cubs pitching. I don't think the Cubs can make it all the way to the World Series, but I think they could beat the Nationals. Nationals are saying the Scherzer injury isn't the end of the world, but he's probably not going to be starting game one, but he's not going to be missing the series per se. They've got Strasburg and Gonzalez to buy some time. That's not bad right there. But, Nationals have always fallen flat in the playoffs. What's your quick take on that? And if you had to pick two teams that are playing in the World Series, who you got?
Well, here's the big issue with Washington in terms of Scherzer is, ideally, you were hoping to maybe have Strasburg and Scherzer each go twice in a series. That's not likely to happen now. And that's the big thing. So I'm going to give the Cubs the slightest of leads, just because I believe they'll play with composure. But I see this as a Cleveland Dodgers World Series this year and some electric baseball. Just imagine those pitchers on top of their game, not just starters, but bullpens. It could be something special in a couple of weeks.
You know what? Yeah, Miller and Jansen would be crazy. A very smart, wise, middle-aged, bald guy picked the Dodgers and the Indians in a World Series about 10 minutes ago during the intro of the show, Dave. So be scared.
You know, the guy is wise. He shouldn't be bald when he's middle-aged.
It's all the gambling.
Isn't there a bit of a contradiction there?
Yeah, it's a lot of gambling, Dave. We don't all have great bloodlines like you, full head of hair, Dave. Some of us aren't as fortunate. Dave, it's always a pleasure, sir. Read Dave's column. It's great stuff on a daily basis over at sportsbookreview.com. Vegas Point Blank, it's right there on the front page. Thanks, Dave.
Hey, good luck, everybody.
Dave Malinsky with us. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Donnie Wrightside joins us next.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Game time decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. I'm going to speak louder right now in this segment because, I don't know, there's like a shipment of boxes that just arrived in the building today, and people seem to be pretty excited about opening these boxes very loudly. So I guess I'll just speak loudly. And I can't wait to get off the air here today and walk around the office speaking very loudly on my cell phone while people try to work. But that's besides the point. All right. Thanks to Dave Malinsky for joining us on the program. Let's bring in Donnie Wrightside right now from a city that feels my type of vibe, Philadelphia. Philadelphia, an Eagles fan. Donnie feels the vibe. If I could be throwing batteries at people right now, I would, Donnie.
Yeah, we're Santa Claus, another national radio host today ripping our city, saying we're the dumbest sports fans in the country.
Oh,
that's
really?
Just par for the course. Yeah.
Who said that? Wait, let me guess.
That was Colin.
Let me guess. Yeah. Colin Cowherd.
Exactly.
Oh,
Taking another shot at us.
No, I knew. You know what? I knew that because he's the biggest troll host in the history of troll hosts. The guy's pathetic, man. He really is pathetic.
No, I mean, if you look at it from his perspective, he's saying we ran Tito out of town, who's now obviously won a world championship or two of them with Boston. Now he's with the Indians, not to mention the fact he was god-awful with a god-awful baseball team. Then he's going to poke fun at us. Andy Reid, who's been here 13, 14 years, never got us over the hump. The team quit on him by his last year and now is doing well in Kansas City. I'll be minded, Gabe. Still hasn't won a title, which is what we seek here in Philadelphia, but we are the dumbest fans in the NFL, no question about it, according to him.
Well, I wanted to actually, we'll get to some baseball, but as long as we're talking about NFL right now, they're very interesting as far as the standings are concerned, Donnie. We're a month in, so clearly it's a little bit too early to make final judgments. I brought it up earlier. I'm a Bills fan. I remember the Bills were 5-1 when Trent Edwards was the quarterback. I was like, we're going to the playoffs, man. And USA Today had him on the front page of the sports. And, so it's a little bit early. But there's been a lot of love to the Rams. Rams are 3-1. Detroit Lions, 3-1. Buffalo Bills, 3-1. Jets, 2-2. So there's been a lot of upstarts and a lot of dormant franchises that were predicted to do well that are playing well, which leads me to the fact that the Philadelphia Eagles 3-1 start sort of flown under the radar a little bit, hasn't it, on a national landscape?
Yeah, Gabe. I mean, we talked about it on the show. We did the closing line on Sunday. It was one of those games that we sort of went a little bit head-to-head on. I was thinking that the Eagles were moving in the right direction. It's a good football team, saying good football teams win in this type of an environment, going on the road 3,000 miles away. You just beat a division rival with a gun on a 61-yard kick. Now you're going to go play the Chargers, albeit they were 0-3 in an interesting environment, to say the least. The Philadelphia Eagles came on the road, played well. We're in control that entire game. 6:44 left on the clock. They're able to run the clock out, which is something we haven't been able to do the past couple years. The sign of a good team right now, Gabe, the Philadelphia Eagles. And looking on deck here with the Arizona Cardinals, another winnable game for the Eagles here.
I got to tell you, man, if you would have told me just blindly, if you walk into a sports bar and you ask people, who's the second, who's the second ranked rushing team in the National Football League? Who's putting up 140 yards a game on the ground? Nobody said the Philadelphia Eagles. Coming into the year, the Eagles don't have any running backs. They don't have this. Guys are getting hurt. You know, Pumphrey. I was high on the kid Pumphrey. Gets hurt. Sproles, hurt. People wonder, what the hell, what's LeGarrette Blount going to do? Is he going to punch in short yardage situations, or is he a legitimate running back? And then you got the Clement kid that comes out of nowhere here. Their football games are won and lost in the trenches. And the Eagles are the second-ranked running football team. But they're ranked third in stopping the run as well. And we look at the Philadelphia Eagles, and, man, they do a great job in the trenches, don't they? They stuff the run, they play physical, and they harass quarterbacks. Not only do they get sacks, but they get a lot of pressures. They take quarterbacks out of their comfort zone. Schwartz just does a great job with the players that he has and the packages that he runs. And I'm a Bills fan, so I know how great Schwartz was with the Bills defense.
Yeah, no, winning in the National Football League game, it all starts in the trenches, offensive line and defensive line. Even with Fletcher Cox last week, the pressure was very good up the middle, put it this way, Gabe. When you're going to dominate both lines of scrimmage, you're going to have a pretty good football team. Phillip Rivers, not the most mobile quarterback. They didn't sack him that much, but Phillip Rivers gets rid of the football. They looked very good in that stretch. But looking on the outside, you had Joey Bosa and Ingram, two very good edge rushers. How do you counterbalance that, Gabe? They had Jason Peters out there and obviously Lane Johnson doing a very good job of that. And that's going to bode well going forward if they can just stay healthy. The reserves are on the way. Sidney Jones hasn't made an appearance yet at cornerback. Darby, who's gone down, who's expected to be back over the next couple weeks. If they can somewhat stay healthy here, I'm feeling better and better about the Eagles as the season goes on through that hard part of the schedule that's about to hit. But again, looking at the Arizona Cardinals coming into town a little bit banged up, most people thought they would be better at this point at 2-2. Lucky, Gabe, after beating Indianapolis and also a bad Indianapolis team, I might add, and also a bad 49ers team, now heading to Philadelphia. Line looks like it's sitting there, 6.5-7? So we could be looking at a 4-1 Eagles squad here heading into the mid part of the season here, Gabe.
Yeah, you look at Arizona, my win total's done. I'm lucky they're actually battling or 2-2, but
yeah.
It's going to catch up to them. Look, they had to go, overtime with the Niners and overtime with the Colts to get their two wins. I hate laying points, Donnie. And last night I cried about laying points late in that football game. Never in doubt, though, right? When it comes to
no, Chiefs, always but, an interesting one in the NFL, man. I mean, you got to be kidding me. If you were sitting on a ticket with +7, with the Redskins or the under 48 or 48.5, whatever it was, you see that final field go through the uprights. There's 4 seconds left. Good. Just throw an interception. Nobody really cares. Just fall on the football. The game's over. And albeit there goes Houston into the end zone and shockwaves. And I'm glad that ESPN announcers McDonough actually acknowledged what happened there, because it was kind of fun to watch as a gambler. We all waited with bated breath at the end of that football game.
Well, it was really hard for them not to, because the irony, the symmetry worked out well for ESPN last night, because it was the end of the game. And they said, what do we have coming up next? And they sent it to Scott Van Pelt in Los Angeles. And Van Pelt does his bad beat segment. He goes, well, guys, we're going to relive some of the bad beats from yesterday in the NFL. There was a bad one. Then they go right back, boom. And then McDonough goes, well, I guess we have one to add to the list, basically. So, yeah, nice, at least McDonough. It's about time that we don't live with our head in the sand. Ooh, I don't know what the spread is. I don't know what's going on here. All right, quickly on the Pats and Bucks, and I want to talk baseball with you, Donnie. Pats and Bucks, we just had Malinsky on, Dave Malinsky, and Malinsky says, yeah, he's taking a shot with the underdog here. You can't justify laying points on the road with a defense that can't stop anybody like the Patriots can. And it's hard to bet the under in this football game. Both teams are getting carved up through the air. Should be an aerial attack, but is that just too much of a public opinion to take the over in this game? And what about a live home dog with the Bucks?
Yeah, if we take a look at from the over perspective there, Gabe, I mean, 56 in an NFL game, if you equate that to the college game, what are we looking at, Gabe? 74, 75, 76 points, something in that realm. It's really unheard of to see a point spread this high, especially on a Thursday night football game, which tends to be a little bit sloppy. But if you look at it from both teams' angles here, New England Patriots go nuclear. It seems like every second half, Brady's going to throw up to 40 times a game. He's got the weapons to do it. And you go on the flip side there. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they have enough weapons as well. I mean, both outside, they have tight end. You're also going to get Doug Martin back in this game. So weapons are full go. And then if you look at Tampa Bay defense, they're going to be without a couple guys. I don't know if they get the safety back this week, but obviously Lavonte David and the other linebacker also escaping my Quan Alexander. Excuse me. He's going to probably be out for this football game. So it tends to lead towards an over in this one. The one thing I would lean on this game, taking a look at the home team, obviously getting 5, 5.5, depending where you're shopping right now. I think Tampa Bay is going to be able to move the football and be in this game. Jameis Winston's very elusive in the pocket, had a very nice game versus the New York Giants, a much better defense than what he's going to see this week on a short week with the New England Patriots. I would lean on Tampa Bay here, Gabe. Give me the points at home. I think they're going to be in this football game. They're going to be able to move this football and score a lot of points. I'm going to go with Tampa Bay plus 5.5.
I agree with you. I'm looking forward to this game. We've had so many Thursday night duds. Yeah. Nice to have an exciting matchup on the board. All right. Baseball, Donnie, nothing beats this time of the year, man. October. Love the playoff day games. Talking with Dave about this. Houston and Boston are going to be playing Friday at like 4, and then I think at 1 in the afternoon. On Friday, Thursday at 4, and then Friday, 1 in the afternoon. So Twins, Yankees tonight. Let's go. We'll go quick through all these so we can get to as many baseball thoughts as possible. But
sure.
I just can't justify. I get it. Severino, Bronx Bombers are 13-2 in his last 15 starts. He's 3-0 with a 2-1-3 in the month of September. Irvin Santana's never won a start before in Yankee Stadium before. With all that being stated, I can't lay this big price. Got to take a shot with the Twins at this price, in my opinion, in a one-off.
Yeah, I'm not a run line guy, Gabe. I'm the same way as you. If we're looking right now at the number 260, 270 across the board, it's a little bit too stiff because, again, we're not looking at a five-game series where one team, if it doesn't go the right way in the first couple innings, they take a deep breath. All right, there's always going to be game two. This is going to be an all-hands-on-deck approach, Gabe. If you see any of these guys struggle in this game, if Santana's in the fourth inning at 75 pitches, they might go to another starting pitcher, go to their best bullpen guy. The same thing with the Yankees. They're going to be loaded up with 7, 8, 9 arms all on deck just in case Severino struggles through the first four innings, which I don't think is going to take place in this game. But if I'm looking from a betting perspective, Gabe, I'm going to skip the actual side altogether and lean on the under 7.5 in this ball game. I even see some of the lines dipping, you know, even extra juice on the under 7.5. Some might be showing 7 by game time. I think it's going to be two good pitching matchups here. And again, when we talk about baseball from an October perspective, you're no longer trying to drive the ball in the gap. You're not trying to hit home runs. You're just looking to move the runner over and make contact at this point. Give me 3-1, 4-1 final who gave. I'll lean on the under in this 7.5.
Rockies, D-backs, you got Greinke versus John Gray. D-backs minus 175, totals 8.5 in this ball game.
Yeah, opposite for me, Gabe, here. Usually I like to lean towards the under. I don't know if there's two more talented lineups, especially in the National League, going 1-8 with Arizona and the Colorado Rockies. I lean this game to be a little bit more over. I can see each team getting to 4 runs in this one. I know Greinke's been good at home. I know Gray's the best pitcher that Colorado has. And even though all hands, will be on deck again for this one, I'm going to lean in that dome out there, good hitters atmosphere. I'm going to take the over in this ball game. If I had to pick a winning side, I would go chalk in this one and stick with Greinke and Arizona at home. I think they're the better ball club and they're at home. If this game was in Colorado, Gabe, obviously, it would be much different. I probably would be leaning towards the Colorado Rockies. But give me the home team here with the big chalk, Arizona, and give me the over 8.5 in this one.
Donnie Wrightside, SBR Picks. Check him out on the closing line with the big man on campus. Always a pleasure, Donnie. Yes. Look forward to breaking down some NFL with you this weekend, my man.
I love it, Gabe. Love coming on the show. Do a great job, buddy. We'll see you soon.
Donnie Wrightside, check him out. Great capper, great picks. Every week, NFL, this guy, he's 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 3-1, 3-1, 2-1. Mike Cardano, going to get Mike's baseball thoughts coming up next.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Gabe, Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues, as does the fantasy football season. And last night's carnage at the end of that game just didn't affect the betting line, but the fantasy lines as well, with that defensive special teams touchdown scored. So speaking of fantasy, head over to dailyroto.com, enter the code FNTSY, get 10% off DFS kits for expert projections, analysis, lineup optimizers. Take your DFS play to the next level with dailyroto.com, where the best fantasy experts in the business reside. rotoexperts.com, FNTSY, dailyroto.com. These guys make money, man. And seriously, they don't just talk. Some fantasy guys, they throw stuff out there and you find out they're not even playing anything, or they're playing in free rolls. Guys over at Roto Experts are laying it down and playing, man. They're playing. Let's bring in Mike Cardano right now. Mike, always a pleasure. How you doing, my man?
What it is, brother. How are you?
Hey, great. This is the best time of the year, Mike. Doesn't get better than this. College football, NFL football, baseball playoffs, a great time of the year. Is this the best time in your opinion?
Yeah, you know, combined with the weather in the Northeast, to me, weather in the sports, this is my favorite month of the year.
You know, we just had a guest on at Donnie Wright's side who was looking at the under in his Twins-Yankees game. I don't know. What's the weather in New York? Isn't it a nice, perfect, sunny day, 72 degrees today?
It is beautiful. I don't know how chilly it is at night, but it is unfortunately, to use the term, it is a 9/11 day. You cannot find a cloud in the sky.
So you look at you look at this, and generally in October, hey, dreary, drizzly, rainy, cold, ball doesn't travel as far. As you stated, that's not happening right now in the Northeast. And we have a lot of games in the Northeast and Midwest where conditions are nice. Look at the Chiefs game last night. All the fans were in T-shirts and stuff. Nobody had jackets on. They had jerseys or T-shirts on last night. So I think the ball can fly a little bit. Malinsky brought it up. Santana's a fly ball pitcher. You know, a couple of fly balls in other parks end up as home runs in this spot tonight. I think we see some runs tonight, but I can't lay this number. What's your take on the game tonight?
Well, listen, I feel that the Yankees win just because the Yankees always beat the Twins in the playoffs. It's just the way it works.
12-2, Mike, in the last 14 games in the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, listen, it's not beyond the realm of possibility for Santana to go deep in this game, though, right? So he leads the league in shutouts. That's their one saving grace if he really throws a jab. You know, what I am worried about, though, is with the Yankees' bullpen, although they can be so dominant, you know, Betances has a propensity to walk the ballpark and get in trouble. And that's reared its ugly head late in the year. So he's either lights out or he gets himself in trouble. So, you know, they obviously have the advantage from a talent standpoint. I just think the Yankees have too much offense here and they can get into that bullpen. The Yankees should win this game.
Severino on the hill has been red hot down the stretch, guys. We brought it up. Yankees are 13-2 the last 15 times Severino started the game. So they win when he's on the hill. But ironically enough, he did get roughed up by Minnesota not that long ago, actually. Like that, you know, on the 20th, not that long ago, about 2 weeks ago. Rockies, D-backs. Sorry, Mike, what's that?
No, the interesting thing here is you listen to talk radio in New York and people are complaining that it's a one-game playoff, and because, you know, in baseball, anything can happen in one game.
Well, win the damn division, then. Win the damn division.
Well, that's exactly right. That's exactly they should feel lucky they're there.
You and I are old, Mike. You know, you're lucky you get the wild card, you guys. Shut up. You know what I mean? You're lucky. You got a one-game reprieve, man. And shut up and take it.
You know, with the Rockies, I if they were home, I'd give them a fighting chance. But to me, Greinke, to me, it was clear he was healthy this year. He wasn't last year. Greinke at home, I think that's a clear advantage for Arizona tonight.
Red Sox versus Astros in the series. You know, Verlander could be the X factor here. It's not just that he started pitching well either when he got to Houston. He'd actually been pitching well for about six weeks, 8 weeks or so with Detroit. The thing is, Verlander's owed nearly $30 million next year, like $28 million. So it's a lot of teams shied away from that. Houston said, you know what, let's do this thing. You know, players in the room were like, come on, we got to do something. He's been great. I think it's a difference. I can't trust Doug Fister and Porcello here, and even Pomeranz. What are they going to do in the playoffs? I got to go Houston in this series.
Gabe, you know how I feel about Verlander. I was playing him every time he pitched. Something's changed here. He's turned back the clock. He's pitching like a Cy Young Award winner. the second half of the season was completely lights out. I think he's the difference maker. They got a lot of young offense there to boot. They had a little taste last year of the playoffs. I think this year, it's their year, and I think you're going to see them in the World Series as well.
Yeah, you know what? You were, I do recall, you were on the Verlander bandwagon all summer long as soon as he started heating up a couple of months ago. You know, I think the Astros can make the World Series, too. I've got the Astros or the Indians getting there, although I got to go with the Tribe. But it wouldn't shock me at all if the Astros made it. They're a severe threat. I think they're a real team. Cubs and
Gabe,
Nationals.
I'm 100% agreement with you. I think the Tribe will make it, but my money is going to go on the Astros just because of the better odds.
Yeah, and they're both, you know, it's hard, and especially this year. This is, you've been around a while, Mike, watching baseball. This, to me, is as deep of a field as you've ever had before. You've got three teams that won 100-plus games. Everybody's in the 90s as far as wins. Eight of these teams hit 200 or more home runs this year. Star power, aces, great managers. This is as deep as it gets. Like, honestly, like in any given year, a team like the Twins that won 22 in a row and are 41-7 in their last 48, be like, no one's beating these guys. Or look at the Dodgers set epic numbers, and then they set the best of times, the worst of times. Crazy teams in this tournament.
Hey, kudos to the Minnesota Twins, by the way. 103 losses last year to be in the position they're at. That's a fantastic accomplishment.
All right, Cubs and Nationals. I just can't trust the Nationals. They just haven't done it. You got the pedigree of the Cubs that have done it, except I don't like the Cubs pitching at all, man, coming into this. Scherzer's going to be okay, but he's not, like Walensky brought up, Scherzer's going to pitch in this series, but they're not going to be able to get him in there twice now. So they lose that. Strasburg's going to have to step up. Gio's had a nice run. The Cubs pitching is real suspect, man. They're going with Lester. They've got Hendricks. They got Quintana. That's what they're going to go with. They're going to hope for the best here. I got to lean with the Cubs, though. Nationals are minus 145.
I'm going to go the other way. I think this is finally the year that the Nationals kind of get it done here and at least get past this round.
All right. So World Series. You say Indians. What about the National League?
I'm going to go Nationals.
Nationals and Indians. All right. Me and Walensky both said Dodgers versus Indians.
You know what, Gabe? I don't think you can be that streaky the way they were with so many wins in a row and those emotions that they went through and so many losses in a row and the emotions they went through. That's taken a lot out of them, I think. I don't see them any way that they hold up here during the playoffs. That was too emotional to go from one extreme to the other like that.
That's like my gambling runs, Mike. Emotional. Like, a lot of wins in a row, a lot of losses in a row. All right, we've only got 45 seconds, but you stumbled upon something you sent our way about quarterbacks. Tom Brady, Alex Smith, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers over the last 5 years have won 72% of the games straight up. So if you just bet on the money line, you would have won 72% of the time. And you would have made money, Mike, but I brought this up earlier. People in our business, gamblers, fantasy guys, they try to overcomplicate things to justify their existence. So last week, everybody was talking, the Chicago Bears can run on the Packers and do this and that and all blah, blah, the Packers injuries. And I said, guys, it's Mike Glennon versus Aaron Rodgers. Pretty simple. Throw out all your garbage, all right? Give me Aaron Rodgers. And we saw what happened. Sometimes you got to keep it simple, Mike.
I tend to agree with you. I came across this. I've been talking about Smith for a long time. He's done very well for me. And you don't have to lay the wood with him as you do with Brady and Rodgers and sometimes Wilson with the odds a lot. So, he's been 64-25 since 2011. That's remarkable, 72%. He's actually got the second highest winning percentage behind Tom Brady during that time period.
Athletic,
but he
too.
Gets no respect.
We got to get out of here, Mike. Always a pleasure. We're going to come back with our plays of the day.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
All right, the baseball playoffs are here. We're going to take a shot with the Minnesota Twins. Let's just go light, guys, but I can't lay this type of price in a one-game one-off. Give me the plus 230. Let's go for the first five innings, and let's go over the number. May the winners be yours.